I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Micah Parsons isn't the only Dallas Cowboy that's got to get a contract this offseason. That here in a couple of minutes. Sean and RJ, 105.3, the fan. We got a Rangers ticket giveaway coming up here in the commercial-free expressway. We got a game tonight, Bobby Belt, right here on 105 through the fan.
Yes, the Texas Rangers will be back at Globe Life Field tonight. It is an exhibition game against the Kansas City Royals, but they will be back at Globe Life Field. It is a 7:05 first pitch today, and then tomorrow, I think they're playing again, and I think it's at noon.
Holy smokes!
So if you want to go out to the ballpark, I know my wife will be out there today and tomorrow. So if you want to go out there,
the fan,
yeah,
6:35 pregame.
Yes, exactly. So they will be out there. Rangers back in the ballpark for the next 2 days, and then Thursday we get opening day 3:05 against the Boston Red Sox, and KNC Masterpiece will be out there from 10 to 2, and then we will be out at Keller Fire Station number 1 on Friday with Eric Chiafalo.
Always gutsy letting us out of the studio, but our firehouse tours are back until the winter. They are back.
Yeah. And so we'll have
year number 3.
We'll have Sean and RJ firehouse aprons for you. So for the grill masters out there, and then we'll have free Whataburger while supplies last for breakfast.
Let's go around the NFL real quick before we get to the Cowboys. Brandon Cooks has a new home.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks, who had said some controversial things about the Dallas Cowboys recently. Not anything that I think we disagreed with, but just said, look, they've got their own priorities right now. And, you know, if I go back there, I need to be used in the right sort of way. Well, he has gotten a reunion. The New Orleans Saints are reuniting with wide receiver Brandon Cooks 8 years after they traded him to the New England Patriots. 2 years, $13 million. So that's $6.5 million a year, which is lower than what he was getting here in Dallas at the end. Is that a deal you would have been interested in? Or do you just say, nope, this ran its course, and I think Brandon Cooks is kind of what he
is. 2 for $13 million?
Yep.
Man, that's affordable.
It is.
That's something they would have done. I could have been talked into it. I think it ran its course, but I could have been talked into it. That's such a cheap number for a player. It's, you know, just what does he have left? You have to look at his metrics. Kellen wasn't here when he was. They didn't cross paths here, right? He came after.
No. Yeah,
they just missed each other.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not crying over it. I could have been talked into it. $6.5 million is nothing.
Yeah, I think that if you're just talking about you need a value and you need somebody who's going to basically just be a baseline contributor for you at the number two receiver, he can be that if you use him the correct way. But the problem is Dallas didn't always consistently use him the right way. And right now, I don't feel like they've got a legitimate, I don't think they have a legitimate three right now, to be honest, much less a legitimate two. But so you're going to be asking
somebody. Their legitimate two might be a legitimate three.
You're asking a questionable three to be your two. Mm-hmm. And that's a big ask. At the very least, I know Brandon Cooks is a legit three.
I think he's a very good three at this point in his career. That's where it ends. You're going to have to get a legit two. And that may be coming in the draft. We don't know. You know, they can always draft somebody, and I think that, you know, this whole idea that the Bengals didn't need to sign T. Higgins because they already had Ja'Marr Chase. No, you really do need two legit wide receivers. I mean, the number two wide receiver is a starting position on the end, and it's no different than your right tackle.
Yeah.
It's a starting position. You got to have it, especially in today's world, but or today's NFL. So Cooks gets a deal with New Orleans. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he doesn't have a deal, and the decision might come after the draft, but he was in Pittsburgh over the weekend. I got a text from my guy Chris Mack at Pittsburgh. He joined us during Steelers week. We played them, and he was like, it's happening. It's happening. He's in the building. Can't let him out of the building. Can't let him out of the building. They want him. They want him there, but he does leave the building.
Yeah, he does leave the building, doesn't ultimately get it done, but I think it's indicative, given the next story we're going to talk about here before we jump into the Cowboys. I think it's indicative that right now it's Pittsburgh or bust. Either he signs with the Steelers or he hangs it up or he waits around until August and just says, let me see if anybody gets hurt. Yep. I still think Pittsburgh and Rodgers is a great fit.
Yeah, I think it's good.
All the success that he clearly had, as odd of a fit as it seemed like Rodgers in Green Bay was, that proved to kind of be the exact type of environment that he needed. And there's nothing that's more AFC Green Bay than Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. That's 100% what it is. So to me, I think he'd be beloved in Pittsburgh. I think he's familiar with that kind of a community, that kind of a feel, just given what he did in Green Bay for as long as he did. Jets was too big. New York was too big a scenario to try and execute what he wanted to do. Just like when Favre went to the Jets and it melted down. I think Pittsburgh's a great fit for him, and I ultimately would like to see him play there if he's going to extend his career. Otherwise, yeah, just hang it up. We've all had enough.
Now, what do you think, though, of the fact that he might now wait until after the draft? And look, I don't think it's a big deal. He's not going to OTAs and minicamp anyway. And if he does, you're lucky. You got to count on him not being there. So, you know, maybe he's waiting for a quarterback of a different team to trip over their dog like Derek Holland did.
Yeah.
You know, or get suspended for the year for something, you know, a gambling scandal or whatever, right? They're looking for something. Maybe other teams that are high enough in the draft that don't land the quarterback they're looking for. And he gets another option. But right now, because you're right, because we are going to talk about the Giants in a second, it does look like Pittsburgh or bust. So if you're him, it's like even more. You weren't even in a rush to begin with. Now it's even more of a no rush.
Yeah, because it's one suitor at the moment. It's one suitor. See if it's a fit. And if it isn't, you'll just wait around for something to open up. Ultimately, again, if he's going to play, I think Pittsburgh is the fit. Don't wait around for something else. Go there. And if it doesn't work out, fine, just retire. Just hang it up. You've been around for long enough.
I absolutely hate this. But the Giants did something smart at quarterback. They have signed Jameis Winston to a 2-year deal. Now, this does a couple of things. One, it basically ensures that they won't win because Jameis doesn't win.
But not frequently. His best year, he was 9-7.
But two, it also says something really, really bad for all of us. It makes the Giants watchable. And that means that they are going to shoehorn them into every stinking primetime game that they can find. There is now, like, before that, the networks knew the Giants were not watchable, but the networks need no excuses, zero, to put them on primetime games. But Jameis makes them watchable. They'll score a ton of points. They'll be on TV, and we don't need that. We don't need the Giants on TV. They're a non-factor. But now they're going to be all over it.
Well, and this is a case of Jameis is just dangerous enough to either
give them hope.
Yeah, just to make he will make a difference in the game. Like, he's dangerous enough to either win the game because he gets hot, or he's dangerous enough to just lose it. And either way, he's going to be a major impact as to why did this game turn out the way it did.
He's a great quote. He is awesome. I can't wait for his post-career podcast. Maybe put him on TV.
He was good at the Super Bowl.
He was fantastic. He will throw for 500 yards, 4 touchdowns and 6 interceptions.
Yep.
And it is going to be, it is must-see TV. He literally is must-see TV. But the Giants are just boring. But now they're kind of like, all right. Okay.
I mean, they'll be able to push the ball because he will take chances. He'll push the ball down the field. He'll try to be aggressive. That'll be good for Malik Nabers. But yeah, it's obviously, if you're running with Jameis Winston next year, you're not necessarily thinking, oh, we're going to win the Super Bowl. By the way, 12 touchdown passes next year. That's all he needs. 12, Chop, to pass Troy Aikman on the all-time touchdowns list.
Are you kidding me?
He needs 12 touchdown passes.
Oh, God.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
He's at 154 right now. Troy had 165. But he needs 12 touchdown passes. He's still 31 interceptions away from passing Troy for interceptions.
If he
throws for 12 touchdowns and 30 interceptions next year, he will pass Troy for touchdown passes and tie him for interceptions.
Does Troy have more interceptions than touchdowns?
No, it's just right now, it's the discrepancy isn't as tight on Jameis. 165 touchdowns to 141 picks for Troy. And Winston is 154 touchdowns to 111 interceptions.
I'm thrown. I would not have guessed Troy had that many interceptions.
No. I mean, a lot of it got skewed very early on when he played.
Was 1-15 year, just pick central.
So he was 18 picks that year in 11 starts. He had 18 picks his second year. Then the last years, he had 12 and 14. In between there, he was one of the better quarterbacks at not turning the ball over.
Okay. I mean, that makes a little bit more sense. Todd Archer had an article talking about the Cowboys' biggest offseason concern is not the Micah Parsons contract, not just the Micah contract, but there are also three key members that are in position to sign extensions. Tyler Smith has his fifth-year option for 2026 at a cost of $21 million. Jake Ferguson and Deron Bland are about to enter the final year of their rookie deals. If you, Bobby, were to kind of put these, based on the market for each, you know, what is the most, hey, you got to do this right now, outside of Micah, you got to do this right now, and the one that you can wait the longest on?
The one you need to get done now, like have to, is Deron Bland.
That because of Deron or because of the corner market?
Yes.
All right.
Both. I mean, the corner market's starting to shoot up. He's in the last year of his deal.
So he's not coming to camp without a deal, and neither's Ferg.
I don't think Bland will. Yeah, I would think Bland might not show up if he doesn't have a deal. I don't know that for certain. He's also just a very, he's wired different. It's one of the reasons they love him. So he might be one of these guys who just says, I'd show up. But most players in his position would not. Ferguson, I don't think Ferguson would hold out for a contract because I don't think he's at the top of the market. It's not the same sort of standoff. Tyler Smith, he'll be there. Tyler Smith is not in the last year of his deal. The one that's the most urgent to me is Bland because, like I said, corner market's going up, keeps getting more expensive every day. He's in the last year of his deal. You want to get that handled. Tyler Smith can wait the longest. You should get it done early. You should get ahead of things. But Tyler Smith is, this will be the fourth year. Mm-hmm. He's got his fifth year option. Like, he's going to have, he's got some room here where you don't have to get that done right now. And then the one that I would think would be the easiest to get done to me would be Jake Ferguson, though. That's the one that right now you're probably buying a little low, given how things went last year. Which was he had a disappointing year. It was not as good as you wanted it to be. I know he got banged up a little bit, but even before that, it wasn't as good as everybody had projected, as everybody was really hoping it would be. So his value is probably a little bit lower right now than it would have been if he would have replicated mm-hmm. his second year. And so to me, that's the one that, hey, buy now on that. Try to buy now, get that one done. That one shouldn't be too ridiculous. You expect that he's going to play better. So just lock that one in.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's obvious the sooner the better on the corner market. It's so expensive. So the sooner the better on Bland. And like you said, I don't think he's going to be in camp. I wouldn't. Most people in his situation would not be in camp. You know, I think you could drag your feet on Ferg if you want to, because I'll tell you this. I never hear anything about the tight end market.
It has not exploded like the other ones. Who's the highest paid tight end in the NFL?
I assume it's Travis Kelce.
It is.
Or Kittle.
It's Kelce. How much do you think he makes on average?
18? 16?
17. So you're talking about...
I mean, I had a bookend.
You went on the left side and the right side.
I had a bookend, dude. Come on. What are we doing?
So you're talking about if Travis Kelce played running back, he would be the third highest paid running back in the NFL.
Oh, boy.
If he played receiver, he'd be the 23rd ranked receiver in the NFL. If he played offensive line, he would be the... what number is that? He would be the 37th highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL. So tight end is one that is not a ridiculous price value as it stands right now. Ferguson's had a year down. In fact, I'll give you some just quick projections. You tell me.
Real quick.
Yeah.
How much? So they've always had discussions in the build. How much of their discussions are, do we really want to bring him back? Like, do you think they want him?
Ferguson?
Yeah.
Yes, I think they do.
Okay.
I think they like him.
I like him too. I think he's great. He's a good interview, obviously, but I think he's a really good player. But, you know, he didn't have his best year.
No, but I mean, again, a lot of things were against him, last year. So here's the deal with, I'll give you contract projections for all these. You tell me if you feel like you can afford to do these right now. On Jake Ferguson, 4 years, $52 million, $30 million guaranteed. So that would give him $13 million annually. That would make him the seventh highest paid tight end in the NFL right now.
13 annually. It's four. How many?
It's four for 52. With $30 million guaranteed. So that's $13 million a year. That would make him the seventh highest paid tight end in the NFL, and it would put him $1 million above where Dalton Schultz is right now.
Yeah, that's the number sure. you use, David.
And I think that's right. Or it would also make him the seventh highest paid in terms of total guarantee. So to me, that's an easy one that I think you get done right now. Next contract here, let's go with the one that seems a little more pertinent right now to get done, Deron Bland. Deron Bland, you go 5 years, $120 million, and you do $70 million guaranteed.
Help me with my math. What is five? How much is a year per year?
It's $24 million a year. That would make him tied with Sertan for the fourth highest paid.
Is he that good?
And the $70 million total guaranteed would make him fifth behind Denzel Ward, J.C. Horn, Sertan, and Derek Stingley.
Are you overpaying?
No, you're paying what the market says, because if you look at right about, like, J.C. Horn making 25 is kind of absurd. Bland is definitely above Horn. And again, you're talking about Jair Alexander is about, you know, Jair Alexander has really come down. He's making $21 million here. He's fifth on the list. I think you absolutely have to pay Bland 24. He was an all-pro. He's already been an all-pro corner for you.
Okay. I'm down. Whatever.
So you're just easy. No problem.
Yeah.
You're in? Okay. All right.
They need players.
Next on this list is Tyler Smith, and this is the one where you might need to wait a little bit. 5 years, $125 million. That makes him the highest paid guard in the NFL, just over Trey Smith. And then you give him $65 million guaranteed, which would be the most guaranteed at the position by $2 million over Robert Hunt at the Panthers.
I think he's really good.
And already made a Pro Bowl, already been a second-team All-Pro. You are projecting out a little bit, continued growth. So this is just, he is a prime candidate for, that's out of all those three, he's the prime candidate for, has the best case to say, I need to be paid at the top of the market.
All right, so 65 for Dak, 35 for Mike. What's for 35 for Lamb? Mike is going to get 45?
Probably 40 to 42, I would guess.
All right.
But 60 for Dak, 35, it's actually 34 for Lamb. Probably, we'll say it's 41 for Micah. You've already got, 20 in Osa.
Man, you were looking at, oh, God.
And then 25 and 24 and Tyler Smith and Deron Bland.
That's $190 million for five players.
It's significant.
That's significant. It's the cost of doing business.
Yeah, I mean, look, you draft good players, you get that's what it's going
to
end up
being. Listen, you're going to pay that money either way. Either you're going to pay it to your own, or you're going to pay it to guys that you don't know how they're going to, you know, react when they get here.
What's the easiest of those three to walk away from? On the Tyler Smith, Deron Bland, or Jake Ferguson one? I feel like you think it's Bland.
No, I think Bland is the... No, I think the easiest one to walk away from is Ferguson, because I think you could find Ferguson.
Okay.
I like Jake a lot, but I think you can find Jake Ferguson. I don't know, finding a good corner is not easy.
No, I know that was the one that you gave some resistance to.
Is that a little much?
That's just only because, I don't know, is he the fifth best corner in the league? You know, that's how I'm looking at it, but.
Rex on the YouTube says, pay Bland in all caps. He wants that one getting done. I think you're right. It's probably Ferguson is the easiest one that you would move from, but, man, I think that at that value, that's still probably one where I'd say, get all three of them done, figure it out. Do whatever you did. 940, going to overpay for Bland just like we did. Diggs, slightly above average corner. I would disagree, and I also think the mentality is different for those two players. I think the Cowboys feel like Bland is going to be more locked in than Diggs.
I think he's more than slightly above average. I think like slightly above average, I'm like, is a six. I think he's like a 7.5.
I think he's a really, really good
player. I think
he's
really, really good. I don't have a major problem paying him. Sean and RJ here, 105 through the Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside. Commercial Free Expressway is here. We have a Rangers ticket giveaway coming up and Ask Reddit as well. And Bobby, we are going to be on the road on Friday, are we not?
We are. We are going to Keller Fire Station number one. This is my hood away from my hood.
Okay.
I love the people at Keller. Great folks out there. The Keller Indian softball team, we've talked about that, is the official softball team of the morning show. And so we're going to be out there at Keller Fire Station number one on Friday with Eric Chiafalo in attendance. We're going to have free breakfast from Whataburger while supplies last. We are also going to have, while supplies last, Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour aprons.
Yeah.
So for grilling season, just go on out there. It's going to be a good time. Have you considered yet what your next maybe fire exercise might be?
Well, you got to see what they have available. Like, you know, some one place had had a course where I had to, you know, find a body and smoke.
I loved that one. That one was, I felt like, for you, your best performance.
Thank you. I like that one.
Could you go down the fire pole?
You know, I don't know. I don't see any fire poles anymore.
I don't think. I think we asked them about it one time.
And they said they don't do that anymore. Because also, like, I think the fire pole was like such a city thing where you have like those three-story brownstone buildings that they just converted into a firehouse, like on Ghostbusters. I don't think there's a. I have not seen a fire pole.
No, we haven't seen one in a single one that we've gone to.
No.
Did you see this? Speaking of firefighters, did you see this mustache on this firefighter?
Yeah, is that real?
It is real. So this is
Retired, right?
No, this is actually sad. He passed away.
Well, that's okay.
But it was sad, and so his picture went viral for this mustache, which. I didn't think we were going to talk about this, so I would have sent this to you, Aiden, but now I'll just turn it around the show.
It's great.
Yeah, so just search firefighter mustache. It's going to show up on Google right now. And so I did see that people were talking about it, and there were people like, should we be making jokes about the mustache in this photo, like given what happened? And to be fair, nobody from where he was said this, but there were a lot of different firefighters who said, you can see his face in this picture, and just knowing firefighters, any firefighter who would have grown his mustache out like that, that would have been what he wanted you to talk about. Like, this would be funny to him, is that he wanted you to admire his mustache in the news with him being in the news. That would be what it is. I've never seen a mustache like that. That looks like something from Horton Hears a Who or something. I've legitimately never seen something go down that far.
I've never seen it like that either.
But they did say somebody on the Facebook last night said that needs to be a bet payoff for like me or one of the others soon. We just need to grow a mustache just like that.
That would annoy the hell out of me.
I don't think I'm capable of it. I know Peyton isn't.
That would if my like the mustache part gets even a little bit too thick. I have to like trim it immediately. I just can't.
If it goes over my lip, I have to.
You gotta trim it back. Yeah, I can't do it. So we'll be at the Keller Fire Station number one on Friday. Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour with those Sean and RJ Tolo aprons that we will have for you. So a couple of months ago, I'm pretty sure Micah Parsons said, I don't need $40 million. How's my life going to change with $40 million a year versus $30 million a year?
Yeah, what was it? 30,
40. What's the difference?
Yeah,
it's like $30 or $40.
And then he was talking about, you know, I mean, he talked about it as if it was less than $30 to $40. He talked about it like it was like, you know, $30 or, you know, $30 and it's a 20 and a 10 or, you know, $30 and it's 3 tens. Like, that's kind of how Micah sounded like he was talking about it. But boy, his tone seems to have shifted a little bit. First, it was $30 million. Then it was, well, you know, if I could just get me a nice plot of land and get me a lake house, I'd be happy. That'd be wonderful. Well, now it's moved on a little bit.
You would
bit
not
further.
Do well with a plot of land,
huh?
You would not do well with a plot of land.
No. They would. You know, Stanley Kubrick would have to direct movies about my life after that. But Cowboys defensive end, this is from Pro Football Talk, Cowboys defensive end Micah Parsons is optimistic about getting a long-term deal done with the team. The question is when. Clarence Hill of All City reports that the Cowboys have yet to have real talks, quote-unquote, with Parsons' agent, David Mulugeta, though a deal could come together quickly if both sides are motivated. Parsons said at the end of last week he was unconcerned about not having a long-term agreement yet, adding he has spoken with owner Jerry Jones and executive vice president Stephen Jones around the team facility. It's coming along well, Parsons said via Hill. Parsons said late last season he didn't need $40 million annually, but since then, Browns edge rusher Myles Garrett and Bengals receiver Ja'Marr Chase reset the market for non-quarterbacks at more than $40 million. Parsons is expected to top the $40.25 million yearly average of Ja'Marr Chase. Parsons acknowledged that $40 million is real for him. He said, I just played these last couple years on $2 million and $3 million. I think if I had $40 million, I'd be the happiest man alive. You go from playing for the league rookie minimum and get that big of a jump, I think anybody would be happy. Then he went on to Twitter, started talking about some of the deals that have been getting done for players recently. He said, some of these agents don't have the best interest for y'all, man. Wake up. David Mulugeta has been showing it time and time again. It's sad seeing some of these players get violated by teams because of lack of decency and effort by their agents. Well, David is known for, I'm going to get you top dollar. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure you get every last bit coming to you. And so it does not sound like all this discount talk that we were hearing about Micah Parsons, which I think we all agreed, we thought was largely, okay, let's talk. Let's see it. We're starting to see now that rhetoric's changing. And he sounds like somebody who is ready to reset the market and deserves to. Deserves to probably get the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. He deserves to be the next one up. Somebody else will top him. But yeah, he absolutely has earned that with his play, I think.
Oh, he has. He has. Now it's just, do they want to pay it?
What do you think changed?
The market.
Do you think the market changed for, that's why he's changing the way he's speaking now?
Yeah, I mean, look, when the market
it's,
just,
it's real now. We're on the doorstep. Money's about to come in, and you can say you don't want that extra $10 million a year, but when you're really staring it in the face, it's hard.
Yeah, that's part of it. And also, like, you know, he also hasn't changed his stance.
Well, he did say he only wanted $30 million previously.
Yeah, but that was when the market top was 35 for non-quarterbacks. And now that it's 45 for non-quarterbacks, to him, asking for $40 million
well, the top
is
of,
the same.
Top of the market for non-quarterbacks is 40 right now. He would just potentially reset it.
Oh, he would reset it at 45.
Yeah, okay. The market was set at 35. Yeah, it's now 40.25, and so he's gone from market's 35, I take 30, to market's 40.25, yeah, I need 40.
Yeah, I mean, he might settle for 35.
I do think the quote here that's interesting off of his Twitter, where he says, David Mulugeta has been showing it time and time again. It's sad seeing some of these players get violated by teams because of lack of decency and effort by their agents. That almost feels to me like Mike is saying, I've been shown the light.
Yeah.
I've had it shown to me why I need to go for this, why I'm deserving of it, and why these teams need to pay it out. And in all honesty, they do. It's that very famous DeMarcus Lawrence line in negotiations with the Cowboys, where when Stephen Jones started talking to him about, hey, we got this issue, there's this, we got to pay for this. And Tank told him, he said, that is your problem to figure out. That is not mine. My problem to figure out is my money. It is your job to figure out everybody else's.
Yeah.
So either you pay me my money or we split.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of one of the things that pushed it over at the end. And I think Micah seems to be getting a lot of that in his ear right now of just
the salary cap is their problem.
Them paying them paying other people is their problem. That's not yours.
Right.
You worry about you and you worry about the precedent you set for the people coming behind you. You do not take $30 million and these other rookies that are coming up that have big deals, give that as leverage to other teams. We go, market's this now. What do you mean? Market's this. Micah Parsons. You think you're $10 million better than Micah Parsons? Hell no, you're not. Micah just signed that. You're signing 32. And that's something that the PA, we talked about this. I think the PA was not thrilled necessarily with the deal that got done for Osa. I think Osa wanted to be here. He got a big payday that he was happy with. I think the Cowboys got a deal that they recognized was
they were
a deal.
Absolutely happy with.
But was recognized it was a deal, but it was probably still above what they initially intended to pay or what they wanted to pay. But the PA looks at that and goes, you left $6-7 million on the table. Like, we work for these guys to reset the market and push it up so that everybody's making more money in the end. Everybody's protecting themselves. This is a big risk playing football for your entire career.
Franklin, injury attorneys, Fantext, 877-881-1053. Breaking news, they are not fans of Micah right now. That's the mentality of a lifelong loser in the NFL. Micah just got greedy. After seeing Jerry be unwilling to bring any tier one free agents, Micah would be an idiot to give him a discount, trade him. What changed for Micah is his agent talked to him. He's such a child. I can't stand Micah. He's not a leader. FFS, trade him.
Ooh.
You know what FFS stands for.
I do.
Let's see. It's why do the media always demean players when they discuss money but rarely discuss the billions the owners make?
I don't think we're demeaning him.
I don't think we're demeaning him at all.
In fact, I think we just said he deserves the money, and that's the Cowboys' problem.
It's the Cowboys' problem to pay him. It's the Cowboys' problem to pay everybody else. I don't believe that we mentioned that he was greedy at all.
No. I mean, get your money.
Now, some fans might, and this is where the tug of war happens, because fans are like, all right, are we fans like they want the teams to succeed, You know, they want the player to take less money. I get it. Because the player takes less money, it means more to go around.
In theory.
It ain't the play, in theory. But A, when the owner doesn't do that, and B, when you're not the player and you're not, you don't have your hand in his pocket, you go get your cash. You don't worry about that. And also, if you're Micah, you might not be playing that long.
Not the way he's talked before. Look, Micah has said, we know this, Micah has several interests off the field. He is the, what's his official, he's like head of football content at Bleacher Report, like that. Something like that. I mean, it's this official title of his. He's a podcaster. He does all these global trips during the offseason. Got a lot of different interests, and that has led to him saying before, I don't think I want to play much past 30. I think around 30 is when I want to hang it up. And there are a lot of people around the league and within the Cowboys, I think, who have said, believe him on that. They don't think he wants to play much past 30. There are others who think he's just talking. Like he was talking when he said, I'll take $30 million, and now he's talking about 40. Well, but the reality is, he has talked about this a lot, and we've seen a lot of players hang it up earlier and earlier.
Puka Nacua just said the same thing yesterday, saying, I want to retire by the age of 30. And he came in the league at 21, so that would give him 9 years in the league. Like, that's what he wants. We saw Barry Sanders at 9, Jim Brown retired at 9, Calvin Johnson. You make the money is so great right now.
Gronk initially retired. He came back, but Gronk retired at 29.
Yeah, but the money is so great. You could get generational wealth, and you don't have to play into your 30s. Now, if you're a legacy player, like if you're like a guy who's like going to go to the Hall of Fame, or if you're a quarterback and you don't necessarily get hit as much, and you can still walk and have a conversation when you're 50, 60 years old, then stick around. Then stick around. But, I mean, if you're somebody who puts themselves into harm's way with their head or their body, and you can make, and you can amass generational wealth, which, what do we consider that? $20 million, $50 million, $70 million, $100
million? Sure.
Right, it's different for everybody. But if you can amass that, why would you stick around?
It's
in
funny.
This game.
When we were growing up, what would you think? I generally thought of like an NFL career. Like if you were a really good player, I thought an NFL career was generally like 13, 14 years. Something like that is generally how I thought of somebody's career going. I just want to go back to the 2014 draft. Okay, so that means max out 11 years. These are the guys from the 2014 draft who have now retired. And not just because of some of these are just they weren't very good. And so they didn't play much past 2019 or something like that. But these are guys who have retired who were good players at one point. Eric Ebron, retired. Taylor Lewan, retired. Aaron Donald, Kyle Fuller. Ryan Shazier was an injury, but Ryan Shazier on there. Zach Martin, who just retired. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, out of the league, retired. D. Ford. Like this is, you're seeing more and more guys walking away from the game who were good players after 8 years, 9 years. And Puka, it's not so much them walking away at an early age. Now they're talking about it in advance.
Yeah.
Barry was surprising. Calvin Johnson was surprising.
Yeah, and you know, we've heard coaches constantly say, hey, if you the moment you start talking about retirement, you got to go.
Your eyes already on the door.
You got to go.
When your eyes are already on the door and you've got your sights set on that, you've probably already checked out as a player.
And I bet you it happens for a lot of like people that as they approach like 60 years old. Right. You can start to see retirement.
Yep.
And, you know, you're not necessarily thinking about today. You're thinking about tomorrow. I bet you that plays an impact. I don't know. But Puka is just another one of the examples of a player who, and along with Micah, who is like, all right, you know what? I am not just a football player. And I want to have he said he wants to have 5 kids. He wants a basketball team, man. He wants to have 5 kids. And he wants to be a part of their lives. And if he's got money to do it, dude, more power to you, man.
Let me find this stat really quickly. Because when we talk specifically about Hall of Fame level players, right? Because we anticipate that, you know, Micah Parsons is going to be a Hall of Fame level player. That's somebody who he's going to you know, reached that point where he'll have played well enough and been there. And no matter what age he retires, if it's 29, 30, that'll be different. We had found this at one point where he retired at 29 years old, Rob Gronkowski did. And it was clear that it looked like he was going to make the Hall of Fame. He had made a number of Pro Bowls. Out of the 303 players, Chop, who made five Pro Bowls or more since the merger, Rob Gronkowski at 29 was the second youngest to retire. Kenny Easley was the youngest. So that was 28, 29 years old. Not very common. Now you look in recent years, Patrick Willis, Dez Bryant, Rob Gronkowski, Andrew Luck. That was 19 combined Pro Bowls and zero snaps in their 30s.
Wow. It's a lot. That's a lot. And it's the new norm.
It
for
is.
For some guys, I really think that's what's going to wind up happening.
All right, let's talk about Abdul Carter. He is not going to work out at the Penn State Pro Day. He is still rehabbing from his shoulder injury. But once again, this feels so problematic that to take him in the top 11 feels foolish and like a waste of your draft pick. You should just let Abdul Carter slide down the board to 12. Uh-huh. You can't trust him with that shoulder.
Yeah.
And let some other team deal with it.
And I've seen him in the color red and green. He only looks good in blue. So, and silver.
Like, it's a sexy pick.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's the, he wouldn't even look good in your uniform, most teams. So just stick to that. Who are the teams that wear blue in front of the Cowboys this year in the draft? We don't even know.
Just the Cowboys.
Yeah. So let's just go with that one.
Actually, I'm sure that's not accurate. I'm not going to take the time to even think
about
it.
Somebody tweeted us and did say the Bills love story is a movie about a guy who almost falls in love a bunch, but never gets married.
Oh, that's sad.
Because the Bills.
By the way, Abdul Carter is meeting with the Giants today, if you wanted to know that. However, the other reason why I wanted to talk about Abdul Carter is edge defender is the number one strongest position in this draft per NFL.com and probably brought us in Woolchuck. Second on the list, running back. Now, Corey, you didn't sound surprised at all that edge is number one.
Because
is
I've been listening to Broadus and Woolchuck. Like, that's the smart thing to do if you're trying to be prepared for this draft this year. And I mean, Woolchuck's really, really bullish, and we'll have him today coming up here at 12:40, I do believe.
Maybe one.
He's pretty bullish on the cornerbacks in this draft too. He's okay with a second round cornerback. So like there are some areas that he thinks have some really good quality players.
So cornerback is seventh on the NFL.com list along with interior offensive line. Quarterback is next to last, followed by safety.
This is a bad quarterback draft.
It is feeling like
that. And I know
that.
Cam has said I just established myself as the number one. That's fine, but everybody is looking at it like, can anybody else please take it? Like that's kind of where they all stand on it. And I know I've heard multiple times the Quinn Ewers would be a fine pick late round for the Cowboys. Like we'd be perfectly okay with that.
Late round, day three for sure.
I want to know where Jackson Dart really is right now.
Because
that would be my preference in that world.
Would Cam Ward be the fourth quarterback in last year's draft?
Probably so. Yeah. Probably because, and I mean, that gives a lot of credence to how good last year's draft actually was, though.
Caleb
Williams didn't have a great year this year, or last year. This year, he'll probably have a better year. But Jaden Daniels, Pop, we all kind of knew that this was a special class.
Now, running back is second on this list, which is good because that's another position where the Cowboys have a need. But I want to take you to Ashton Jeanty, which I love this sense of confidence. What is the North Star that you're chasing in football? Fox Sports asked. Jeanty said, to be the best. To be the best that's ever played the game. For me, that's what I've always wanted out of sports. To be the best wherever I am at. And he goes, I feel like there's no reason to play the game if you don't want to be the best, if you don't want to compete. But I think if there's a lot of things that come with that, being in the community, all of that, making others around you better. But I don't just play for them. I play to be the best.
Look, if he's there, scoop him up. I'm perfect. That is the way he talks, very Emmitt Smith. Whenever I think of Emmitt Smith and like the hey, here are my goals, and I'm going to go be all of these things. And he achieved them. So, like, that's what I feel whenever I hear him talk. And again, if he's there, I'm perfectly comfortable taking a player like that. And I hope the Cowboys aren't telling themselves, like they did with Derrick Henry, our offense isn't built for that. We're not built he wouldn't even have a good season if we had him behind this offense. You know, I hope the Cowboys are looking at it going, oh, he can make some special things happen.
I'm going to go from that to, let's stick.
Sorry, the top text just kind of.
With the Cowboys.
Hey, your wife, Christina, congratulations.
Good for her. Now, also congratulations to Mike Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys. Didn't get a chance to mention this. Yesterday, they held a bowling event and raised $167,000, Pins for a Purpose. And the money goes to help out young people and Gold Star families. A Gold Star family is an immediate family member of a fallen service member who died while serving in a time of conflict. So feels like hopefully a cause that we can all get behind, and good for Micah for making that happen and raising a ton of money in the process. And for the people that were asking, yes, according to the full rules that the NFL sent out this week, the nose wipe celebration that CeeDee Lamb does is qualified as, quote, a violent gesture and would be a 15-yard penalty for people that have been asked.
I know, like I had said one day, I was like, I feel like it's some sort of murder, gang-related something. And I got a lot of texts that were like, no, it's this. And I was like, okay, I mean, I don't know. And then now that's what the NFL thinks. So they said can't do it anymore.
Thanks a lot, Corey. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.
Nobody's as upset about that as they are about the way you screw the Rangers, all right? So don't try this.
Yeah.
Man, you know what I'm really upset about right now is that somebody texted in that said big city. I need to look up the slang for that, and that was a mistake.
Oh.
Because I did.
On Google?
It was a mistake. I'm telling you, don't do it.
Big City Greens is a great cartoon.
Okay. Coming up next, we'll talk Stars and Flames, but also this time we will throw in some NFL overreaction or reality next right here on The Fan.
Hour 2, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys news coming up here in 20 minutes. Have the C-note for you. Time now for Eric Chiafalo's NFL news of the day. Here he is in for the Woolly Bully today, Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, Friday, cold beers and cheeseburgers. Just before we got off the air, we got the news about Jameis Winston and the Giants. And then the numbers came out, and I thought it was interesting to see that it was just a 2-year, $8 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
He could work up to $16 million. With incentives, but 2 years for $8 million is, I mean, that's as backup money as backup money gets.
Sure.
Pretty sure Zach Wilson just went to Miami on a 1-year deal. It might have been fully guaranteed at like $6 or $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Zach Wilson, who nobody thinks is better than Jameis Winston. So, but that was, I guess, just the market here. But for the Giants, it makes a ton of sense because he's a guy that is going to be playing an entertaining brand of football. You know how good he is as a vibes guy, locker room guy, culture guy. So if he ends up having to be sort of the veteran grooming the young
things
quarterback
are going bad
kind of deal,
and everybody's talking about getting fired, he's the guy that's going to cheer everybody up.
Probably comfortable being if somehow they get Shedeur Sanders maybe at 3,
sure.
Then you know he could be the guy to sort of take him under his wing or whatever and not be complaining about not being the starter. So all that makes a ton of sense, but it does make me feel like what are you expecting from a draft standpoint, Broadus? Are you expecting the Giants to, because Cam Ward's going to go number one to the Titans. Does Shedeur Sanders, is he there at 3? Do the Browns want him at 2? There's so much, like some people think he's going to slide. I just don't see the Giants passing on Shedeur Sanders at 3.
I don't think so either. I think there's, to me, when I looked at, you know, and I mentioned to you, I've done 4 of the quarterbacks. I felt like that Ward would be a guy that I'd like to put in my top 15, just overall.
You think so? You gave Cam Ward a first round grade.
I gave him a first round grade, and I haven't had a chance to see Dart yet. I've done Sanders. I have him outside my top 15. So now I have to determine where he slots in there with Golden and Warren and Mykel Williams and Will Johnson, guys like that. So I just grade these quarterbacks pretty hard. but I also have to find out, you know, okay, what guys would I, and when they're in the round, what guys would I take them over, or, you know, where they would slide or slot in. But I watched Sanders play at Jackson State, and this is my thought about him. I watched him play Jackson State in Colorado. I felt like he was a much slimmer, mobile guy at Jackson State than he was at Colorado.
More mobile.
Much more mobile of a player. When you watch him play, and you can see where times at Jackson State where things kind of broke down for him a little bit, and he's having to run around and escape and make plays. And I think he was far more comfortable doing it. And he physically looked better moving around at Jackson State than he did at Colorado. He looks like a bigger guy. And if he could get himself back into that form where he had at Jackson State, because he'll take himself into some sacks just because he drifts far too much. You know, and he just doesn't have, you know, he just, instead of getting rid of the football, he'll drift and drift and drift and then try to avoid, and he can't. But at Jackson State, he would drift and he would get himself out of trouble. So I think physically he's a better player at Jackson State than he was at Colorado.
And I wonder how much of that has to do with just the defenders that he was going up against. You know, he was able to run away from guys.
Well, they blocked for him better at Jackson State than they did at Colorado.
Definitely blocked for him better.
Yeah.
And then you just don't have the same type of athletes that you're having, you know, being in foot races against.
I think they dealt with a lot of quickness there at Jackson State. A lot of guys, you know, the Gramblings and teams that I watched him play, you know, there were some teams that got after him pretty good. He just physically, his body looked different in the way he was able to move around.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I wonder if there's a conditioning factor to him a little bit, that he's, you know, if he needs to slim down a little bit so he can be a little bit more mobile. He's a good athlete, but I think he could be a better athlete. He said he was a better athlete at Jackson State.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember watching him at Colorado and that being one of the big takeaways. Outside of his general accuracy, which is a plus for him, it felt like he was always running for his life. Yeah. And a lot of that had to do with the bad offensive line. Mm-hmm. But I think plenty of it had to do with him, like you said. He just feels like he's a drifter. And he's not Kyler Murray or somebody who can run out of anything.
Ward from Miami will drift too.
He will.
But he tends to, when he has to escape, he can escape. When you start talking about him as a player, like him in Milroe, when they have design runs, you know, They're able, you see the explosive, the power, the quickness, and all that.
Cam Ward has some of that, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's surefire number one. But after that, I don't know.
I don't know. They'll see what the Giants do. The Giants might want to take a positional player and then think about it. But their general manager is in a win now mode. Mm-hmm. So he might be forced to take the quarterback there and see what happens. But he might also consider taking, like he did last time, he took Neighbors, take somebody else to pair with a quarterback, and then maybe grab the quarterback in the second round.
Well, I do think also, like, how much intel they have from around the league on where they think Shador might go.
Well,
because if they think he falls out of the top 10, they could be a prime candidate to take whoever they think is best at 3.
Yeah.
And then perhaps trade back into the first round.
Sure.
To try and go get Shador.
Sure.
And then you kind of double dip in the first round that way. But yeah. It's just hard to imagine in my mind that the Giants punt on a quarterback opportunity here.
Well, they like I say, they need
a lot, though.
They need a lot, and the problem is their general manager's got one foot in the parking lot as is. So, do you want to draft a quarterback for somebody else, or is this guy this guy has to be? And he spent a lot of time in Boulder. I mean, he spent a lot of time in Boulder. And so, you know, that leads me to believe that maybe that Shador will be the consideration for them at 3.
Well, if he was spending a lot of time in Boulder, that means he saw a healthy helping of Travis Hunter, who is the two-way super beast. Mm-hmm. But he apparently is also quite the fisherman.
He's a great fisherman, yeah. He's got his own boat.
He said, when I dream at night, I'm actually fishing on a boat.
Yeah,
he's not going to bed imagining getting pick sixes or catching balls and getting yak. He's thinking about fishing on a boat. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is even more exciting in terms of your draft stock? Is he your Is he your number one player in the draft?
Number one player.
He's your number one player.
Right.
So he can't go any higher. Nope. But you knew this about him already. He was quite the fisherman.
Yeah, I knew. Like if you follow along, he's really, it's kind of fun the way he, you know, he's really outstanding when it comes to his media availability and what he posts. And so he posts a lot of things that he does in his life, and fishing is one of them. He's got a beautiful boat that he fishes off of. So, yeah, good for him. And he's pretty talented at doing it.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I saw
Chris, the same passion with his head coach, you know, with Dion.
Oh, that's
being,
true.
Being a great fisherman. Yeah.
Well, Chris Sims had his quarterback rankings last week for the draft, mm-hmm. but now he's got his wide receiver rankings. And this is very interesting to me. Because he's got Travis Hunter at one, his best receiver. He's got Tet McMillan at three.
Mm-hmm.
So those are names that you're familiar with.
He's got the Washington State kid, I think, at the second overall pick. Is that?
Yeah, Kyle Williams.
Kyle Williams
out of Washington State is Chris Sims' second best receiver. And he's not a guy that I've heard talked about at all. We hear a ton about Ibuka. Yeah. We hear a ton about Golden. We obviously hear about McMillan. Mm-hmm. He's got Kyle. Who is this Kyle Williams?
Kyle Williams is a transfer from UNLV. And he actually broke Dez Bryant's Holiday Bowl record last year for receiving on 10 catches. I think he had 172 yards.
Why aren't we talking about him for the Cowboys?
He's like a third, fourth round guy, in honesty.
Okay, so what the heck is Chris Sims seeing that has him as his second best receiver in the class? Yeah, that's crazy.
I think he likes the quick twitch element to his game, I'd have to say. He's a vertical player. The stuff underneath, though, is kind of not what you want to be with the other guys. But he's not going to block all that well on the outside. But he's kind of some guy that runs routes the same speed. So you've got a guy that's a vertical player that has a little quick twitch of getting off the line of scrimmage, but the underneath stuff is not as good as some of the others. He's 5'11", he's 190 pounds. He's a good player, and you know, but he's got some punt and kickoff return stuff. So he's taking a flyer on a guy, is what he's doing.
That's his number two receiver in the draft, according to Chris Sims. Yeah. It's Kyle Williams out of Washington State. That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Okay, we are, by the way, only 1 month until the NFL draft. Isn't that crazy?
No.
That is crazy to me.
It's funny because we talk.
It's happening a little earlier this year.
Every time we're on the draft show, Kyle Yeoman says we're 100 days away, we're 90 days away, we're 70 days away, we're, you know.
30 days, boys.
I feel like we've been counting down the, you know. But no, yeah, it's getting close to finishing this thing out.
Time's flying, buddy. We are just a month from the draft, 3 days from opening day. That is right, Thursday at this time. The ball's going to be getting pitched.
Let's go.
By Evaldi.
Nasty Nate on the bump. That's going to be awesome, dude. We have, how about this? The quote from star wide receiver with the Rams, Puka Nacua, 24 years old. He says, quote, "I know I want to retire at the age of 30. I think of Aaron Donald to go out at the top. I think it would be super cool. But also, I want to have a big family. I want to have at least a starting five. I came from a big family, so I need five boys for sure. But also, like, I want to be able to be a part of their lives and be as active as I can with them." Nacua talking about raising a family and being done with his NFL career at 30 years old.
I mean, if you could script it where you get to the NFL at 22, 23, you accomplish everything, you win a championship, you get a giant bag of money, and you're gone. I could see that, but one thing I know about young guys is they don't have a great imagination for what it's going to be like when they get older. You know, they just don't know. So when you get older, you're going to need more money. Maybe your wife at that time is going to be like, "Honey, play one more contract out. You're only 30. Why are we walking away from $80 million?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to love it, you know, so much that you won't want to let it go. Right now, you think the next 5 years is going to last forever. 30 years old to a 25-year-old is like, might as well be 100. But it's going to go by in a blink, and you're not going to want to give it up. That'd be my read.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, how much money are you really going to be able to make between now and then? And now with the dollars being what they are, we are seeing guys retire much younger, more often than we had been accustomed to.
Good point.
That's what they have that opportunity now with how much money they're able to make. As long as he can stay healthy, his next contract should be pretty dang fat, especially with the wide receiver money being what it is now.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. You're 24 and you feel like 30 is way down the line. It'll be real soon. If he wakes up,
it's part of the problem for finding quality analysts and media members.
You know, the guys who are good have such generational wealth. They don't want to like look at a schedule or being accountable to anything. They're good. They made it. You know, they get the next 50 years to basically be on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. What a dream. Did you guys see the CJ Stroud impersonator over the weekend?
Did a good job.
Getting in to the Houston rodeo.
The rodeo, yeah.
This guy, I mean, don't get me wrong. We'd all be double taken if we saw this guy. We'd all think that was probably CJ Stroud. But the funniest part is he's actually wearing his number 7 Houston Texans CJ Stroud jersey, as if players do that when just walking about around town. CJ Stroud impersonator. And then all these, like you see the video, this dude gets in free. You see him at the security and they're like, oh yeah, Mr. Stroud, come on in here. And then you have all sorts of people, security included, all trying to take pictures with him. And he's just some internet impersonator of CJ Stroud getting behind the gates and getting through. I remember the Klay Thompson lookalike was pretty strong. Yeah. That one was still the most impressive from what I'm familiar with, impersonating in sports and actually getting into the arena. I mean, that dude was like putting up pregame warm-up shots as Klay Thompson. That was incredible from just a few years ago. But this is not bad.
Okay, so a quick search of this. Dude's been kind of blowing up behind the scenes on Twitch and different social medias for a couple of months.
Colin Drum.
Yeah, like this fan at a Rockets game thought he was CJ Stroud. So over the last couple of months, he's been realizing how much he looks like CJ Stroud and just decided to try it out, take it for a spin, hit a home run.
He did. That is so cool. He's taking pictures. He's signing autographs.
I mean, you got to do like you got to have some sort of a critical thinking skill about you, though. You got to look at the chest, the guns. I mean, it's close.
Right. Right.
But you got to be is this dude really a football player?
Yeah, he doesn't quite have the body for it.
Yeah.
You can see him falling out of the jersey. But I mean, I do think it's funny to consider there's at least one adult at work on a Monday sharing the weekend story of how they got a chance to take a photo and get the autograph with CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
And they have no idea they were getting ball sacked.
Amazing.
That's good stuff.
I mean, that Sylvester Stallone at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers on Friday. He could have sold me.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
He was doing, I love how he was doing the bottom lip to the side.
Yeah. And they're so funny. Mr. T and Harrison Ford, they're rolling around.
Yeah. And Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones was really good, I thought, too.
Indy was great.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, a lot of these impersonators are really heavy-handed and self-important, you know? And they kind of get obnoxious. Like, look, okay, we get it. It's a funny bit.
Yeah.
But they're kind of laughing along with you.
Yeah. They're in on the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. And then we'll close it down here. Kirk Cousins planning to wait until after the draft to potentially waive his no trade clause with the Falcons. I don't even know if the Falcons are going to be planning on trading him at all. We'll see what he can command via trade, but he doesn't want to get the same situation that he ended up with in Atlanta last year, where he maybe gets traded to a team, then they draft a quarterback, and all of a sudden he's second fiddle. He still thinks he's a starter in this league. So we'll continue to monitor Kirk Cousins. I don't know which one I care less about, Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers, but both of them. Just
Aaron Rodgers for me.
Love it, Chief. Thank you so much. A C note's coming up. Cowboys news of the evening. Who's the Cowboys signing with the most upside from this free agent round? Would you do this Micah Parsons trade? And apparently the Cowboys are looking to trade for a quarterback as well. It's the G-Bag Nation's Cowboys news of the evening next in the Fan. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time for the C note. Cowboys news of the evening. Talking about a Miami slot receiver, right? Restrepo.
Yeah, he's. It's funny. Eric goes, he ran 4.8. Dawson goes, is he a tight end? I'm like, no, he's like a 5.8 slot.
He's a slot.
He plays really fast, though.
I like Restrepo. He's a route running machine.
He is a
good change of direction.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah.
Okay. Time for the C note here. Yeah, Joe Milton, Patriots backup, a target in the trades for the Cowboys. Brian confirmed that for us at the top of the show. This is real. Okay, I know you see a lot of Cowboys trade rumoruskies out there, and you're like, well, this is speculation, or it's just an opinion. But this is an actual report.
Yeah.
I don't know why the Patriots would want to deal him for what the Cowboys would be offering.
They really don't.
I'd want to hold out for a 3 if I'm giving a young quarterback who had some success in his rookie year.
Sure.
I could see why the Patriots want to get something, but not. What do you think, Brian?
They might be in a situation, though, in New England where you have a new coaching staff, and they're probably not interested in the guy.
Okay.
You know, and maybe they didn't like him when they evaluated him while they were at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And so the coaches are walking in like, hey, we really don't feel good about playing with this guy. We don't think he could fit what we're trying to do. So see what you can get for him. And I mean,
they've had a chance to evaluate him for a year.
Yeah.
If they're willing to give him up for a five, which is probably going to do nothing for your organization.
I think the front office wants to fight for him.
Okay.
I don't think the coaching staff is necessarily on board with it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. New coaching staff comes in and says, we're really not interested in him as a backup guy. We'd like to do something else.
I know they do have Dobbs as their backup.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking as a young quarterback who had success, if we can get him in a couple of preseason games and he lights it up, we could. I mean, I think trading for a five is probably nothing, you know, and I have a young quarterback asset in my building. We know it was years ago, probably two decades ago now, what the Packers were able to trade Matt Flynn to the Seahawks for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want a three. I want a two. But more than that, I want to know, you know, from you guys, maybe what you think the Cowboys would be thinking here for Milton. Is this evidence they're trying to prospect in those quarterback waters and find a replacement for Dak, who's starting to get dinged too much?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think you want to have something with some more upside than Cooper Rush. And so you have to start considering Dak's end. And when is that going to be? Sometime over the next 4 years. But injuries have cut him short. And throwing Cooper Rush out there, not good for business. You're going to probably win one too many games to get the draft pick you really want in a year that you actually suck, like this year. But you're not going to win enough to actually get to the postseason. And there's no excitement, at least when you have a young rookie quarterback or like a Joe Milton style quarterback with upside that you haven't seen before. That's getting eyeballs, and that's generating interest when a season may be going sideways on you and Dak gets hurt. Who cares to go watch Cooper Rush again? We've seen this bland story before. Yeah. Go get something that maybe it's going to be a train wreck, but you will be, I mean, all Cowboys fans will be much more interested in watching the Cowboys with Dak goes down and it's a rookie quarterback or a second year quarterback as opposed to Cooper Rush.
Yeah. You're right. That is super boring. And then there's kind of a burst of excitement in the fourth quarter when the determination is made. Did you win or lose?
Exactly.
That's it. Okay. So look out for more Joe Milton content.
But your assessment of a fifth round pick is dead on.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, if they would take it.
For what New England's looking for.
If I'm the Cowboys and I get that, I'm like, cool. We got a lotto ticket here. A guy that's got good athleticism, pretty good arm. And at least played in a meaningless Week 18 game and put up really good numbers. Would you do this Micah Parsons trade? It's next in the C-note here. Cowboys news of the evening. We go to Katie Drummond talking about it. Send in a proposal for you guys. Dallas would send Micah to said Patriots for the fourth overall pick, the 38th pick, a fifth rounder, and then a 2026 first rounder and 2027 third rounder.
Holy smokes.
So you're getting two ones, a two, a three, and a five.
Heck yeah, I would do that. I would absolutely do that.
Talk about backing up the truck.
That means you have a good chance of getting Travis Hunter in this draft.
Well, I was just doing something. I was going to do it at Krusty's Corner because I've got another trade proposal off a mock draft I saw. Remember I asked you guys last week about would you trade for Travis Hunter?
Right.
It's actually there's a better way of even doing this now off this mock draft.
Cool.
So we could talk about that at 3:40 today.
No way Cowboys actually do trade Micah Parsons, but it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, the Cowboys are they're not the type of organization that moves on from star players. And unfortunately, they wait to pay him until the last minute and they end up resetting the market with these players. And that's exactly what they've done now with Micah Parsons. But yeah, they're not the type of team that is thinking long term rebuild, losing a star player. They don't have an appetite for that. But this particular scenario, I think you're getting like exactly what you would want in terms of not only are you getting multiple first round picks, but one of them is a top four pick.
Yeah, but okay, so you're getting 4 and 38. So what are we getting in 26?
Another first round pick.
And what else?
And a third and 27.
Oh, and a third and 27.
So two ones, one of those being a top five pick.
Yeah.
And
good shot that pick could be very high too. That one at New England could be in the top five again.
Yeah. I mean,
depending on what you think about their quarterback and how New England's going to play this year.
You know, I just think with what the Cowboys have added to the defense, you get Diggs and Overshown back with Parsons. I really want to see how this thing could come together. But you're offering two ones, a two, and a three. Like, there's a price for everything. You know, the Cowboys don't trade star players, but at some point they would.
Yeah, and in this case, you know, I mean, you would feel pretty
good about the idea that you could get Travis Hunter at four. So you're trading star player for star player.
What do you feel like the possibility of maybe getting Carter from Penn State?
Yeah, and there's also that's you're getting one of them.
Yeah. I mean, people will tell you, though, that Carter's a bigger pain in the ass than Micah.
Yeah.
The Penn State folk will tell you that.
Okay. Well, I mean, as long as, you know, he plays that well.
Yeah. I mean, if you hate Micah for being a pain in the ass, then
this is a bigger pain.
It doesn't have to bother me. This is potentially a bigger pain in the ass.
I think the only way it really bothers fans is when it gets to the point where a guy could be kicked out of the league, suspended, stuff like that. I mean, sure, fans can get offended or think I'd rather have better leadership, but all that's just personality flair to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing, too, is who says you have to even pick at four? You could just trade down from there.
Yeah,
and sure now you're, I mean, now you're just stockpiling high value picks.
I would pick Travis Hunter if that was the case.
I would too.
I would,
assuming
I
mean, he's there at four, but
it's a little bit more easier for me to trade down from 12 personally, just for what the player, the level of player. But I'd take Travis Hunter.
You are looking at a Hall of Famer for maybe All Pro. I mean, what's Travis Hunter's bust potential there? If you say star for star,
he's 185 pounds. He could bust at corner. He could be a slightly built corner that gets beat up on the outside by people. That's why I think he's probably going to be a wide receiver in this league. I think he's going to have more opportunities to make more big plays as a wide receiver. But I understand why people have him at corner, but he is 100. He's a slightly built corner.
Does he have the length?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's 185 pounds.
Gotcha. Good stuff there from Brian Broaddus, a former Cowboy scout.
And if he plays both ways, his weight's only going to go down.
Oh, burning calories.
Exhausted.
He gets smaller.
I would love to know the meal plan. Whatever team that gets him, really committing to him playing both ways as much as possible. What does that meal plan look like?
You would be envious the way you eat. Yes.
If it was me, I think I'd load up on French toast for all three meals, to be honest with you.
Hey, that's a good route. I mean, obviously you got to figure out a way to get the protein in there, but in terms of your entree,
The egg on the bread, that's quite a bit of protein, isn't it? The egg in the bread?
I think, do you guys know how many grams of protein are in one single egg?
Seven or eight?
I believe it's six.
Okay. So you might have to do a side omelet.
Maybe a side omelet. You could always just protein shake it up with chocolate milk and just all the deliciousness.
Man, I'm doing Lent again, which is 6 weeks of denying myself delicious treats.
You're on fire.
I think I'm taking it all the way to training camp this year because I built myself in too big of a hole. I got to continue this on. So we're 2.5, almost 3 weeks into this, and I'm imagining the French toast and the donuts and pizza. It's just killing me. I haven't been able to get through that mental breakthrough where I forget about it yet.
This is usually about the time where the hallucinations start to set in and you start having those dreams about different snacks.
My goodness.
But so you're 49, right?
Yeah.
49 years old. So 49 was the year, the line of demarcation where the regulation length of Lent might not be quite enough to make up for the last 12 months.
Yeah. I mean, it was really firing like 4 or 5 years ago, and I got low enough that there was no amount of debauchery that could push me back over two bills. But now I keep tipping back over there, and I'm like, this is when it gets like, you know, the doc's like, hey, here's your obese line.
Yeah.
It's below this.
We're going to need you to go on about 6 months of crash course.
Dude, they told me my ideal weight last time I was there was 166 pounds. I was like, how is that humanly possible? So I feel like I would blow away.
Are you two bills?
I'm like 193 right now.
So you're carrying like a third grader on your back.
I carry like 30 extra pounds. Maybe not a third grader, but at least a three-year-old. Okay, Pro Football Focus did every team signing with the most upside. Ryan, who's yours? Is it that edge? Was it Peyton? Something like that.
You know what? I really do like the linebacker from the Bears.
Sanborn
a lot. I think Sanborn's a really a nice signing for the Cowboys for the way that he sees the way the play develops. He gets in. He can finish as a tackler. Like the way he could play, probably play as a Mike and play as a Will. So, yeah, I think for a young guy, surprised they just didn't tender him a contract there. But I think he's got big upside there.
Yeah, that's who Pro Football Focus went with, saying slotting him at number 200 on the big board ahead of the 2022 draft. Pro Football Focus was actually high on him in college. Mm-hmm. The Wisconsin product proceeded to go undrafted before landing with the Bears. Long been a sturdy run defender.
PFF grade at 70 in 23 and 24 after excelling there in college. Cowboys may be able to offer Sanborn more snaps due to their depleted linebacker room.
He's going to start probably.
Bolstering one of the league's worst run defenses units from a season ago. So you think increased role with the Cowboys, increased production, maybe leading tackler on this team, Brian?
Absolutely, yeah.
David Moore in the Morning News writing about the Cowboys running back situation. Headline, Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders won't cede lead role easily if the Cowboys draft a running back. Williams saying, from what they're telling me, they want a competitive room. Everyone go in there and compete, and may the best man win.
That's BS.
They want the rookie star to be a star?
Yes, absolutely.
If the rookie couldn't beat Miles Sanders coming out, would you have bust potential on your radar? I mean, Miles Sanders is a pretty solid veteran. It's not going to be easy to beat him out.
I could go all the way down in the fourth round and have a guy that beats Sanders and Williams both out.
Nice. Yeah, I would be hugely concerned.
I'm that comfortable with this draft. I could go all the way to the fourth round to beat both those guys out.
Yeah, the running back you draft is the guy that needs to be your starter.
Yep.
And it shouldn't be very hard to unseat Williams and Sanders.
Mm-hmm. So if he's struggling in Oxnard preseason, it'll be like, oh boy, it's Miles Sanders time.
That would suck.
That would suck.
Okay. Never want to see Miles Sanders time on the clock.
No, you don't. No, he had that one good year 3 years ago in Philadelphia, but it was so offensive line dependent. It's actually the Exhibit A case if you're going to court for, you know, why the running back doesn't matter very much. It's that, you know, offensive lines can make you look like an all pro. Great tweet from Donnie Fowler over the weekend, said, I'm back and I'm better. He's talking about what his run defense, Brian, when you did that film study on Dante Fowler back after 1 year with Washington, he said on Twitter this weekend, I'm better. What does he mean by that?
He's gotten better playing as a run defender is what he has. He's got a better feel for how to play off blocks. It's just not about being just that one-dimensional player where all he was a pass rush guy. You could actually start this guy, and the way that the Commanders were able to do that, you know, before he was a guy that was kind of a rotational player, but he's got more in the tool belt now with his ability to play with his hands, get off blocks, get upfield, chase down the, you know, guys going away, ball coming at him, playing with some strength, been able to get off blocks. Like, yeah, he's gotten much better as a run defender, and I think that's where he has to feel pretty good about himself.
All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, the Cowboys news of the evening, every show at 3:20 here on The Fan. We get you caught up on everything developing. And then we get to Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus, daily 3:40. Brian, what's in store for us today?
Yeah, let's talk about some of these quarterbacks. And as I mentioned, I got a trade opportunity. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Ross, in for Lucius today. The 254 asks, did Zach get suspended for saying bad words on Friday's show? That's Walt in Waco. I mean, that's a good question, Walt. The only thing I'm legally allowed to say about that is no. So there you go.
There have been some whispers about potential line crossing. You know, I mean, he was double-digit tequilas deep on Friday. Cold beers and cheeseburgers, man, that it can get away from us.
The Woolly Bully in full glory. That's what that was, Brian.
You should have, got him from one place to the other.
He was sick, so we leave cold beers and cheeseburgers right at 7 o'clock because we have a Sandlot charity dinner in Deep Ellum at Pecan Lodge. Yeah. Unbelievable, 10 out of 10, as always. Pecan Lodge, dominant barbecue. Yeah. But the entire time, Wolchuk had puke face.
He had one sliver of brisket.
He couldn't keep anything down.
Couldn't keep anything like. I carry like a kind of a beach towel in the back seat of my car. I transferred it from the back seat to the front when he got in because I was thinking he was gonna throw up.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have put it at a guarantee. Looking at him at Pecan Lodge the entire time, just he could barely keep his eyes open. There was a lot of burps.
Did you feel like though that he got really really drunk? And then started to kind of somewhat get sober. And then
he was hung over at dinner.
And they got hung over at dinner.
Yeah.
So he went from being like, he was darting heavily.
Heavily.
Instead of going to bed, he just kept going as far as staying up.
Right. That's right. That's exactly what happened.
And then
you drive 45 minutes in the passenger seat. Maybe a little car sickness starts to creep up on you.
I did my best not to throw him around, you know, make him have to I did with Jim McMahon that one time where Jim got all sick on Doug Peterson's, truck way. I tried to be really mindful of I've got a guy that's not doing very well right now,
He was tore up.
He was doing great a few hours earlier. You know, I think to each their own on this, Brian. I feel like you've led the charge on this one. It might be in his best interest, maybe to coach him up on this. Start drinking later in the show. Finish with the bang. Finish at your peak.
Yeah.
5 and 6 o'clock, bang, and now I'm going, and I'm, you know, now my evening starts at the end of the show.
Sure.
Right? Now maybe I'm going to go tie one on, but dang it, that was fun, you know, cracking a handful with you in the last couple hours of the show.
Yeah.
Here's Brian with Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. The king himself brought us.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate that. Thank you very much for Reliant for hanging out with us. Yeah, I was just kind of like, I was worried. By the time we got back after being at dinner and dropping him off here at the station, I was kind of worried that he wasn't going to make it home.
Hmm.
You know, I was like, I'm off, like, hey, you want to kind of anything? We follow you? Oh, man, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm okay. Good. But, man, he looked terrible. Like you said, do you think I should say something, though, Dawson? You really think I should?
You know, it's up to you.
It's like when you threw the opening to the show, and he, like, I think he had two tequila shots down.
Yeah.
By the time the opening of the show had just.
Yeah. I don't think Broadus will have to even say anything. I think the HR ladies will take care of that.
You're right. Yeah.
Probably.
I'll say this.
Above my pay grade.
Say this, though. Lucius had just as many tequila shots.
Yeah, but that's a man who understands his body.
And like Lucius looked like he showed up. He looked ready to go.
He also treated it more like a marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Wolchuk was doing a 40-yard dash of booze.
Wolchuk and Belt could go toe-for-toe in the 0-60 category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
I kind of feel like,
they're more in the sprinters.
Very, very much, yeah, like my passion for racing, that we go about 200 miles an hour and go right into the wall and stop.
Yeah.
And just, you know, G-force, boom, just right into the wall.
It's a good explanation for Friday afternoon about 5:15.
Seriously,
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to some of that. I bet it was. Bet it was insane.
Remember at the end though, real quick. I know we got some football to talk about, but you remember at the end he was trying to just get out of segments.
He was
sort of like, oh man, can you?
I might sit this one out.
I might sit this one out here. I mean, I'm really not sure. Gosh, I'm like, bro.
He still had it all over his face, too, at Zero's wedding on Saturday afternoon. I could see. I was like, yeah, you had a long day yesterday.
Could he not? Do you think?
Could he not drink?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he had no problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh really? He did it at Zero's wedding? He did? He kept going?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, shout out to the margaritas there, man. They were on point.
A little hair of the dog never hurt you.
Just kind of wondered why. Why like a guy like 61 years old like me can drink more shots than him and not be all tore up?
No, you didn't have more than him.
I don't know, man. I feel like the Gary, I think I did seven. Seven fireballs, yeah.
Well, yeah, he had the higher proof liquor. He was getting tequila, which is 80 proof. Fireball's 40 proof, bro.
You guys kept trying to tell me that.
On PG-13 mode.
You guys were kind of trying to tell me that, and I was just kind of kept drinking them.
I can buy Fireball at the gas station, dog.
Bro, I did not see you doing shots.
That's because I had to keep myself intact. Last time, cold
beers
and cheeseburgers.
You worry about going home, and you're like.
Well, yeah, I didn't have the DD. So I was smooth sailing. Cold beer here, taper off about 4:20. We're good. 7 o'clock, I was humming. Yeah, I was ready for those ribs.
Can't believe you guys are just downplaying my ability to have some fireball shots.
I don't want to downplay it.
I think Dawson tried to at the bar. He goes, you only know you're drinking 35%.
Well, you tried to compare yourself to the bully, and that was 10 tried and true tequila shots.
I don't impressive. Know. Okay.
Twice as much liquor in
those. All right.
As yours.
Last time we were there, like, I was picking up the slack for some of those other drinks, the lemon drops and some of the tequila drinks that we didn't know what the butterscotch drink. What was that I was drinking?
Hey, listen, you were doing it right. Okay.
I want a little acknowledgement from you over there.
Well, I gave you a pat on the back.
Hey, listen, I'll acknowledge that you would
35%.
Drink. 35%. You would drink Wolchuk under the table going shot for shot, but that's not what you did on Friday.
And I did get him around. I was worried about him getting sick. All right. Got a trade for you there, Chieftain.
Let's do it.
On Pro Football Focus's last mock draft, they have Travis Hunter getting to 5. So he drops another spot. Remember last week he was at 4 at New England and we were talking about trading up. This week they have him at 5.
Jags?
Yeah. This is all it's going to cost us. Remember last time it was we were going to have to give up pick 44 and maybe next year's 3?
Yeah, you swap guys. Ones, you pick up, you give up a second and a third.
Yeah. for next year.
Right.
2026. This time around, man, you willing to give up your two and pick 149, a fifth, to go get him in this draft? A two and a five?
A two and a five to go get Travis Hunter? Yeah, that's...
And you keep 12?
No, you swap.
You swap. You go to five. You go to five.
Yeah.
They go to 12. You pick Travis Hunter at five, and they get your second round pick, 44 and 149.
Got to do it. That's easy. Yeah, I'm...
Oh, wait. We've taken him out of the mix because he wants that 149. He wants to make a pick there.
No,
when it was next year's three.
Yeah, next year's felt a little better because I'm kicking the can
on
that.
But he would complain that, like, oh, I can't believe we gave up this year's three. No, next three for this. You know,
I like being able to spread out the assets that I'm giving up because this team does have so many holes.
Yeah,
that they need to be able to stand tall and make some picks.
Yeah,
but. I'm still so enticed by Travis Hunter that I would still do it. I would absolutely still do it. You're getting a two-way guy, hopefully. Hopefully you have a guy that's eating snaps at corner and also wide receiver two to CeeDee Lamb. And the superstar factor of that name, that's got Jerry written all over it.
Yeah.
Okay, good news here, Brian. Whiskey expert weighing in. Fireball whiskey, 66 proof. So that's pretty close to tequila, which is at 80. Fireball malt, which is what I was thinking about, is the 33 proof stuff.
Okay, that's the stuff.
Junior high school stuff.
That's the stuff you get at the gas station.
Yeah.
So, okay.
It's basically made of wine. It's fake Fireball.
But I was indulging in the 66% one, right?
Yeah, were. Yeah. Yeah.
Which was closer to what you said, the 80% with the tequila, right?
Yeah, it's 80% of the 80 proof. All right. So it's not quite as bad.
Hey, I gave you an attaboy butt slap at the end of that show for a reason on Friday. I came away impressed.
I was just, you know, I'm
and
always,
you weren't sloppy I'm like you trying, were in Arizona 2 years ago at the post-game dinner, you know? You weren't just slobbering all over yourself during our charity dinner like you were in front of Nate Dell and
Hicks. Hey, Eric, let me tell you.
You think Eric and
Hicks... Sorry, I didn't realize Gavin was having a conversation with you. Let me butt in here again.
Talk about something you don't give a damn about. You know, at the end of that, I didn't feel bad until the next day.
I had a great time, man.
I didn't feel bad until the next day. Then when I kind of when Hicksy did say, God, that brought us a sure chatty.
Yeah. Well, he's hammered.
I bought him dinner. I felt bad about being so chatty. I did interrupt you a ton. A ton. All right, so we're in on that, right?
Par for the course.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you very much for the guy or gal who texted in and said that was 66 proof. Yeah. All right. Okay, 5 minutes here. Here we go. Seen four quarterbacks so far. I'm not going to go through each one of them, but I'm going to tell you, I've got specific, and this is, I'm kind of stealing a little bit of an idea from Pro Football Focus. Of the guys I've seen so far, the quarterbacks, and they have it broken down in different categories. So I'm just going to kind of walk you through, and we'll update this as I see the rest of these quarterbacks, and then we'll come up with a consensus like, oh, this guy has the best this, and this guy does this the best.
Oh, okay? There you go, yeah.
All right? Best arm I've seen so far is Jalen Milroe, by far.
Just in terms of arm strength?
Arm strength,
yeah,
by far.
He's got an absolute cannon.
He is, when you... There's no telling where it's going to go, but you watch the first half of the Georgia game. He throws the ball as well as you can imagine. You watch the first half of the Michigan game where it's early in the game, it's pouring down rain, he's getting sacked, he's fumbling. He looks like a guy you wouldn't even draft. But as far as just pure arm talent of the four I've seen so far, he would be the guy. So that would be him for arm talent. Best out of the pocket quarterback.
Ooh, I'm gonna go Cam Ward.
Shedeur Sanders
throwing the ball outside of the pocket.
Outside the pocket,
on the move.
I think left and right. Yeah, I think Shedeur Sanders does this. I think his going to his left is rare with the way he throws.
I mean, the accuracy certainly speaks for itself.
He is incredible throwing. I mean, he could get his hip open, shoulder squared. And let that thing fly. And I mean, it's on a rope going to his left. A lot of guys sometimes struggle getting everything in line to get that ball out.
Mm-hmm.
Sanders has got this. He's got this. And his arm talent isn't the best of the group, as we mentioned.
Yeah, the arm strength is not quite there. But the accuracy is pretty next level. That's encouraging, though, the idea that he can do it left and right on the move.
Best mechanics I've seen so far in this of the four, Will Howard from Ohio State. He's got the ability. I think Will Howard could play under center, and I could think he could play in the shotgun. Now, he's our national championship quarterback. He got better as the season wore along. Michigan game, though, very end, though, he made a couple mistakes that might have cost his team the game. A couple of interceptions, one down on the goal line that was really, really bad, and one backed up. But overall, you watch all the other playoff games he played in. Ohio State's got great players. But, man, he did a great job of getting the ball on the move to these guys as they're able to run into those crossing routes. He hits them on the move, down the field throws. He's not throwing the ball behind his guys. He's putting it right where he needs to be, the accuracy. But when you start to talk about, though, hit the mechanics of him and him sitting in the pocket, throwing off that front leg, getting the ball to where it needs to be and helping his guys get down the field and make plays.
Is he a day three guy?
He's a fourth round guy on my board right now.
All right. Cam Warden doesn't make an appearance yet.
Not yet.
Best skill set.
He's about to. Best under pressure.
Cammy?
Cam Ward.
There you go.
Cam Ward he can escape a lot of trouble here. Best mobility, Jalen Milroe.
Yeah.
I think when you watch Milroe, he has the ability to design runs, whatever he has to do, anything to do movement in the pocket wise, he's got the best mobility.
When you say Cam Ward pressure, are you talking about escaping pressure or standing tall standing in the pocket in with the dude in his face?
Pressure in his face.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Best when it comes to standing there and making the throw. Best on third down is Cam Ward.
Hey, best, that's huge.
Best touch is Shedeur Sanders.
Okay.
And the best, see if I read my best outside the numbers thrower is Cam Ward. So far, the guys that I've seen so far, those are the guys that I've the four guys. Cam Ward, I got him in the first round. I've got Sanders in the second. I have to figure out if he's player 16, 17, 18. I only 15 first round grades. So don't freak out at, I say, second round. He's in that second tier group of, you know, he could be a 17th best player on my board. I have to kind of determine with the other guys. And then I've got Will Howard in the fourth over Milroe in the fourth as well. So far, that's what I've seen. Got seven more quarterbacks got to do. We'll revisit this and see if some of these guys, the first four that I've done, still maintain the level of the best of.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. We're talking baseball with Jared Sandler as the Rangers have a lot of decisions to make and a big game coming up tonight. We can preview that for you as well coming up next here in the Nation.